Labor is to exert one's powers of body or mind, especially with painful or strenuous effort or work. Many forms of child labor and child slavery has existed throughout U.S. history. Throughout history, there has also been a lot of protest, and the protests are the exact reason why labor is the way it is today. We get to have days off and get paid to work overtime, while back then, men, women, and children had to push through harsh working conditions, little pay, and close to no time off. Children especially were often sought after due to being more manageable, required less pay, and were less likely to strike. Children were forced to endure rough working conditions because they had to help support their family. Children that worked in the mills worked upwards of 11 to 12 hours for 5 to 6 days a week. The windows in the buildings were often always kept shut to keep in heat and moisture, leaving children and other workers in a miserable working environment. In the coal mines, kids and other workers would often break their hands and fingers. Most of the kids that worked were only paid 50 cents to 60 cents a day. Even today in the United States, child labor accounts for 20,000 workers' compensation claims, 200,000 injuries, thousands of cases of permanent disability, and more than 70 deaths per year. When child labor was most common was during the period of 1820 to 1870, which was the American Industrial Revolution, which was a big part of America's growth as they transitioned from manual labor to using new machines and factory systems. The machines required people to use them, and so child labor was a cheap alternative, and poor families were often more desperate and likely to send their kids to work in the factories. Beginning in 1900, effort to suppress or eliminate child labor became a focal point to social reform in the United States. In 1904, the National Child Labor Committee and state child labor committees led the surge. It was all the way up till 1938 when the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 established minimum wage, overtime pay, record keeping, and youth employment standards affecting employees in the private sector and in federal, state, and local governments. Many states also regulated their own minimum wage laws, and today the federal standard is $7.25 an hour. The laws are like this these days due to the brave people who fought and protested in the labor movement.
Some people who were part of the labor movement were Nelson Cruikshank, Eugene Debs, and Cesar Chavez. Nelson Cruikshank was a part of creating Social Security and Medicare mostly for the elderly and disabled. In 1955, Cruikshank became the director of the AFL-CIO, newly organized Department of Social Security. In his time there, he helped form the political coalition that passed Social Security Disability Insurance in 1956. In the late 1950s, he organized a special labor committee to help press for medical assistance to the elderly. Eugene Debs was a part and formed multiple unions, including the Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen, the American Railway Union, and Socialist Party of America, and Industrial Workers of the World. After the BLF was founded in 1875, Debs had signed up for a charter member and was then elected recording secretary. In 1983, Debs resigned from his position as Grand Secretary Treasurer of the BLF and later organized the American Railway Union. In 1984, workers struck against George Pullman's paternalistic railroad sleeping car manufacturing company. After federal troops were sent in, the boycott and strike collapsed. RAU leaders, including Debs, were arrested on conspiracy charges and were sent to six-month jail terms. After 1896, Debs helped form a new Social Democratic Party and ran for president in 1900, and ended up with 96,000 votes. He later merged his party with supporters to form the Socialist Party of America in 1901. He then ran for president again in 1904 and received 400,000 votes. Cesar Chavez was encouraged by Fred Ross and left his current job to become a full-time organizer for the Community Services Organization. He was named executive director in 1959 and moved to Los Angeles to work in the front office of the organization. In 1962, he moved to Delano, California with his family and a CSO colleague, Dolores Huerta, and established the National Farm Workers Association. They lobbied for a minimum wage and unemployment insurance for farm workers, advocated their rights to collective bargaining. They established a credit union, life insurance plan, and a hiring hall for the members. The NWFA and Agricultural Workers Organization Committee merged in July of 1966, after both participating in a strike in September of 1965. And for the next 2 years, they conducted a two-front campaign against both the growers and the Teamsters. By 1967, the union made tremendous progress, but their contracts only covered 5,000 of California's 250,000 farm workers.
In the U.S. today, workers are given more and more incentives for doing their job. We get paid more by the hour and have more time off than what kids and teens like us had in the past. But all these incentives didn't come for free. People had to fight for their beliefs, protesting against big corporations to put an end to child labor. Americans also fought to get minimum wage raised to help with the low-income families and workers who aren't able to have the best-paying jobs. Due to people fighting and protesting for what's right, low-income parents can now support their families. We should be thankful for the people and organizations for keeping the kids of America safe, because without them, kids would have had to suffer those harsh working conditions for more years than necessary. America is now in a better place. Without children, labor is a better place because of protesters who fought for what's right.